this big, brown, flat, mysterious, crazy country, Telstra MobileNet Digital presents Martin Malloy with Mick Malloy and Tony Martin.
And today, Mick Malloy spills the beans on the celebrity goings-on at the opening of Melbourne's Hard Rock Cafe. I don't want to drop any big names just yet, but let's just say he's got the dirt on one. B. Skaggs. Yes, impressed? Stick that in your pipe and smoke it, Molly. Also today, we put those outrageous claims in Paulie Yates' autobiography to the test. We've got the latest on EMI Records versus those Gregorian monks. There'll be Radio Gladiators, another session with Tim and Phil. And joining us live from the Shawshank Redemption and the big new hit movie Seven, actor Morgan Freeman. It's all coming up on the program that, like Michael Hutchins, in its first hour, does six things to you that are totally illegal. Martin Malloy.
Do not adore.
The French total eclipse of the heart, and welcome aboard the good ship Martin Malloy for another week. Australia with myself, Tony Martin, and this bloke here, a man who surprised everyone at the opening of Melbourne's Hard Rock Cafe by showing up in a Versace dress held together with safety pins, Liz Hurley style, Mick Malloy.
And I had people's eye out by the end of the night, let me tell you, Tone. Do you mind if I kind of rhapsodise about the evening? Just for a while?
Oh, you're not going to do some show business name dropping to open the week?
Well,
you, Mick?
I wish I could, but it was a bit hard. Very surprising. No Kate Fisher, no Kimberly Davies. You know, apart from that, everything else was pretty much as expected.
But Boss Skaggs was there, wasn't he?
Absolutely.
Okay.
We'll get to that. But let me paint your picture.
Mm.
Okay. I arrive, and of course, it's the big showbiz entrance, Tone. You know the look. I walk up the front door where there's an assembled throng of media, the lights, the cameras, the question. And I've got to say, that caught me a bit by surprise because I'm not used to making that kind of entrance. Well. Not unless I'm wearing handcuffs and got a jumper over my head anyway.
Right.
In that case, it's another day at the office.
Not supposed to talk about that.
Okay, sorry about that. Inside, everything was pretty much as expected and largely, I suppose, like the other 30 or so Hard Rock cafes around the world.
Mm.
The only discernible difference I could see was that instead of being on the wall or in glass cabinets, most of the rock and roll memorabilia was at the bar honking onto free drinks, punching out a few photographers who refused steadfastly to take their picture. Some of the memorabilia was okay, but they didn't seem to have much of the good stuff. You know what I mean? That top shelf stuff.
Mm.
I was hoping to see, I don't know, you know, the vomit Bond Scott choked on.
Oh, yeah.
But, you know, no sign of it. Mind you, as a surprise last-minute addition to their collection, they do have the vomit I did all over the front of Richard Wilkins' pants. What else can I tell you?
It's a community service, though.
Community service. That'll be up in glass. Go and pop in and have a look at that. Jeff Kennett was there at open proceedings in a pair of leather pants. Could have been human skin. Who knows what he gets up to in his spare time. And let me just say, once he'd had a couple of drinks and taken the top off, he was a dead ringer for that Iggy Pop. You know, what with all that nipple piercing and stuff. I think he was slightly confused as to what kind of venue it was because all he kept saying was, you know, when do I get to whip someone? And I'm thinking, hey, Jeff, your work's finished for the day. This is social. Lighten up, pal. But it was a great night. Lots of personalities. Glenn A. Baker was there, pissed out of his rock brain of the universe. In fact, most people were. At one stage, I'm up at the bar and I'm having a drink with a bit of a sad old character, staring into the bottom of his glass, looking like he'd seen better days. And in a bit to lighten the mood, you know, turn his frown upside down, so to speak, I said, hey, come on, buddy, lighten up. It's not that bad. Hey, Boss Skaggs is on in a minute. That should be good for a laugh. And at that point, he's looked at me. Someone's gone, ladies and gentlemen, Boss Skaggs, and this bloke's gone up and belted out a few songs. I thought, oh, this might be an opportune time to make a bit of a quick getaway. So I've rushed to the front door, and I'm about to leave him. What do you think I see out the front? Who do you think's there? Jeff Kennett writhing round on the ground, entertaining the assembled media with his uncanny River Phoenix impersonation.
Ooh, the nerve of that wasp.
John Mellencamp's small town on Martin Malloy. And Mick, let's turn our attention to Paula Yates.
Oh, could we?
Because she's launched her Kiss and Tell autobiography, admitting, I only did it for the money. Now, excuse my ignorance, but what exactly does Paula Yates do? You know, apart from sleep with rock stars and take the photographers with her handbag, what exactly are the achievements she's seeking to enshrine in autobiography? Because, you know, The Life of Weary Dunlop, that's a book.
Mm-hmm.
That's a couple of books waiting to go. Yep. Marlon Brando, that's a book.
Mm-hmm.
Bob Hawke, that's a book. Well, it's not a book anyone wants to read, but it's a book. Even you and me, Mick, we could punch out a, well, not a book, but a leaflet, a kiss-and-tell brochure telling of our unconventional six-year relationship with Mr. Copper Art. But Paulie Yates, what does she do?
I don't know.
Any ideas? Because you go, well, she must be a rock star. She looks like a rock star, but you know, you can't recall any of her records, can you? Oh, well, she must be an actress, but you can't think of anything she's actually been in.
No.
As far as I can tell, the only interesting thing she's done ever is get paid a six-figure sum to write her autobiography.
She's on her way.
There you go. There's a book in that perhaps. Yeah. But anyway, in the weighty tome, she goes the bag on Sir Bob Geldof, saying he once went 4 years without taking a bath.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that explains that famous photo of Bob surrounded by those 400 Ethiopian kiddies with the pained expressions on their faces. They weren't desperate for a feed. They were just desperately trying to hold their breath till the photographer gave them the all clear. That was the miracle of Band Aid, actually, not getting all those rock stars into the one studio, getting them into the same studio with Bob Geldof. No wonder we've never heard from any of them since. Midge Ewer, Nick Kershaw, Thompson Twins, all dead from prolonged exposure to Bob. He's one of the three contributing factors to the hole in the ozone layer, apparently.
Right?
But he's doing it for ideological reasons. Mm-hmm.
Because one bath full of clean water can sustain a family of 12 for a period of up to 18 months.
I think it's something like that.
Cool.
But the other great revelation, and in fact the only other interesting thing, apparently, in the Paula Yates read, concerns her relationship with feisty In-Excess frontman Michael Hutchence. She states that after her first hour in bed with Hutcho, he had done, quote, six things to me that were completely illegal.
Mm.
Now, I'm sure I'm not the only person who stopped and had a bit of a think when they read that. Because, I mean, I can think of a couple. But they did six things while having sex that are illegal. Let's see. They were parked in a loading zone. That could be one.
Right.
Failed to indicate before changing positions. Look, I'm trying, all right? I'm trying.
Soldier on.
Three, erecting a structure without council approval. Look, I've been putting my mind to it. That's the best I can come up with. Four, at one point they were balanced on an illegally obtained milk crate. Is that a possibility? Five, what else is illegal? Plagiarism, you know, pinching a couple of moves from somebody else, thereby depriving the creator of designated royalties. That could be it. And six, at the moment of climax, apparently, he tried to sell her scalped grand final tickets.
What's going on, dear? Rioting soccer hooligans?
No, it's just that bloody Michael Hutchence and Paula Yates having sex again.
You gotta be kidding.
Mark Malloy on SAFM.
Speaking of good ideas, I'm afraid we've had more mail, more faxes, more calls saying, give us more of Tim and Phil from across the Tasman.
Have we got any more?
Well, I think another tape arrived in the mail. I haven't listened to it yet.
So you don't know what those wily nutbags are up to now?
Let's have a listen.
G'day, you're back with the Tim and Phil Morning Show. That was Mr. Mister with Broken Wings. Did you like that, Phil? Yes, Tim, it was choice. I agree, it was choice. And now, listeners, time for one of our patented Tim and Phil wacky phone calls. Brought to you by Findus Fish Fingers and Smith's Thins, the delicious crisps and chicken, spring onion and salt and vinegar. Today, we're calling up the offices of TV's That's Fairly Interesting to claim that we've got something fairly interesting for them to film. But it's a fub, that's right, because in fact, it's just Tim's pink jersey, which, although being quite interesting in itself, isn't necessarily interesting enough for That's Fairly Interesting. Here we go. This should be a pisser.
Hello, That's Fairly Interesting. Kim speaking.
Hello, Kim. This is Tim and Phil. Would you be interested in filming Tim's pink jersey?
Is it interesting?
Yes, it is. This morning I washed it in Phil's Fisher & Paykel washing machine and it got stuck on the lint filter.
That is interesting.
Is it?
But for us to film it, you'd have to give us a bit of a written description.
We did.
Did you?
Yes.
Where is it?
Unfortunately it was written in invisible ink. Quick, Tim, hang up. Excellent. We got him a beauty. It was choice. I agree. But now, time for a bit of a preview of what's coming up on the Tim and Phil Morning Show. Coming up, we'll be looking at tinted windshields, presenting tributes to Slim Pickens, Rin Tin Tin, and the inventor of Tiddlywinks, recalling television's Lancelot Link, Secret Chimp, looking at our new film, Living in Oblivion, and interviewing Glenn Nicholas, who is best remembered for his stint on The Big Gig. That sounds choice, Tim. I agree, Phil. It is choice. But enough titbits. Time for more music. Here's Big Pig. Big Pig, were they ever on The Big Gig? Big Pig weren't on The Big Gig, Phil. You're thinking of Milli Vanilli. Milli Vanilli? My mistake, Tim. You're forgiven, Phil.
I love to play jokes. I'm good friends like you.
Martin Malloy.
Radio Gladiators is coming up, people, and then in the next hour, our special guest is Mr. Morgan Freeman, who we know from many fine films. Absolutely. And as you know, if you saw him on, I think, Hey Hey, it's Saturday the other night, he's done his leg. He's got some sort of ankle brace happening, some sort of accident. So I thought, just for a bit of a gag, I've got and put Lift out of order on the... In the
crazy.
And we're up here on the 15th floor.
You've got him a beauty tone.
Fun never stops. Here at Martin Malloy. Oh, dear. Now, look, we've had enough showbiz talk today, I think. Mick, have you got anything more substantial?
Yeah, I could turn attention to the political arena.
Oh, yeah.
Just
what's,
for a second. Well, there's a few problems. Someone's been leaking Liberal Party policy tone, and I'm not sure who to. Possibly the Liberal Party. They'd be keen to find out what they're up to, wouldn't they? That'd be good. But I'm thinking, okay, this will be good. This will be good. The country's still in diabolical economical difficulties. I'd be keen for clarification on their industrial relations policy, plans for Medicare, etc. And what is revealed, Tone? What is the big plank in their election policy? They intend to plant 1 billion trees. That's good. I'm all for that, but I'm thinking, how is that going to pull us out of the economic poop? And it can't. I'm thinking, unless, and this is when it came to me, unless they're going to grow dope plants. 1 billion dope plants, which wouldn't be a bad idea, you know. I mean, that'd have me reconsidering my solemn vow never to vote Liberal. And because I'm thinking, I'm going, a crop like that could just about put the economy into surplus. And also possibly turn 7-Eleven into the new big Australian. And I'm thinking, dealing with a pretty lame Liberal government wouldn't be so bad if you're sitting at home on the couch off your nut for most of the time. You could sit there watching Parliament, looking at John Howard, not so much concerned about his dearth of coherent policies or the soulless way the country was meandering under his directionless leadership, but instead you could just be looking at him, having a giggle, wondering what he'd look like wearing one of those funny little hats with the propeller on top.
This is Martin Malloy.
It's Martin Malloy, where it's time to crack the lid on another...
Radio Gladiators, your chance to represent your state and win fame, glory, and fabulous prizes. Here's today's challenge.
Now, I'm sure by now we'll have all have seen or at least heard about or maybe read in the papers.
Or had first-hand experience.
of Boris Yeltsin's behaviour over the weekend. Did you see the footage, Mick? He was at some sort of news conference at the Kremlin, maybe, and he's reached down and he's, I think, pinched his secretary on the arse.
I think the term is goosed.
Yeah. And pardon me.
Goosed.
I should have had the dictionary in front of me. Well, he's done a bit of that. And she's reached down, I think, pantsed him. And then before you know it, it's just, you know, it's on for young and old, round the Kremlin and fast.
I think it was the 50th UN birthday celebration.
I think it was. But, you know, this sort of behaviour, it's really pretty regular for Boris. He's always up to something, isn't he? He's always fallen off a bridge. Remember, he fell off that bridge and no one could explain what happened.
Yeah, he fell asleep in his plane and wouldn't get off when he landed in a country.
He was photographed dancing with clowns on a visit to Canada. Now, I'm sure, and this is the premise, this is the premise for today's Radio Gladiators. I'm sure we've all had a brush with Boris at some point. Now, Mick, have you had a brush with Boris?
I have, Tone. He turned up at the opening of the Hard Rock Cafe.
Did he?
The other night, yes, he was wearing a pair of leather pants with the holes cut out where the buttocks should be. And he ruined Boss Gag's set by continuing to stage dive against, you know, everyone else's recommendation. And when it came to presenting some memorabilia, you know what he did?
What?
Pulled out his original liver.
And that's now behind the bar. Get down and have a look.
Oh, that's fantastic.
But he was on fire.
Yeah, well, that's a brush with Boris.
That's a brush with Boris.
Yeah, and...
What about you, Tone? I mean, surely somewhere, I mean, in your social catalogue, you've come across.
I ran into Boris down at the local swimming baths.
Oh, did you?
And it might not surprise you to learn that he was right up on the top diving board wearing just a pair of black Levi's and with a stubby in his hand.
Was he?
Just jumping off. Can you picture Boris?
And all the mums were getting their little kids out of the pool. Yeah. Well, they go, come on.
Yeah. Send him home before he, you know, gets the liver out again. Now, this is what we're looking for. We're looking for, you can make them up, people. You can make them up. We're looking for feasible encounters that you have had with Boris Yeltsin. It's a brush with Boris. Now, the prizes the very fine people at 4 and 20 have brought back by popular demand, the Sony Discman.
Hurrah!
Because people are getting the Ghetto Blast. They're going, this is great, but I want something heaps smaller. Something I can lose. It's that good, and it's that small, and it's that musical. So that's coming back, courtesy of 4 and 20. Mm. And 4 and 20 pies. Is Boris Yeltsin, would he be a 4 and 20 man?
Well, he doesn't like eating them.
Yeah.
But I haven't got authority. He's goosed a couple. So I went down the supermarket. I swear, this is another brush. Can I do another brush with Boris?
Yeah.
I'm in the supermarket, and I've got my trolley, and I'm going down the aisle. And I look, and I see this kind of creepy old character. And I have a close look at what he's doing, and he's just fondling the pies. Not all the pies. Just the 4 and 20 pies. He's gone right past Herbert Adams.
Yeah.
He's gone right past all the frozen stuff, and he's just grabbing the 4 and 20s. And as he's grabbing them and he's fondling the pastry, which is, well, a very fondleable, he's just going to himself very quietly.
Yeah, and you know that big furry hat he wears?
Yep.
It's just a big pie warmer.
Is it?
Just chockers.
He carries his 4 and 20s around in his hat. So if he ever dips his lid, if he ever says, oh, morning, and takes his hat off, it's just rain and 4 and 20s.
That's right. You'll be covered in pastry. So, you know.
He's a 4 and 20 man.
That's right.
Us.
He is indeed. And just quickly, can I mention everyone who wins on Gladiators this week and I think next week and the week after goes into the draw for that fabulous Ford Festiva. It's a car. It's a proper one.
It's the ridgy-didge.
Yeah,
it's the business.
And it's courtesy of the Ford Australian Open. So call now with your brush with Boris, 1-800-657-657. Today, it's a bit of a stretch. We're asking for your brushes with Boris Yeltsin. Have you had an encounter with the president of the former Soviet Union? And they don't have to be true, but they have to kind of ring true. That's what we're chasing, I think.
Correct. Who's first, Vicky? Oh, we've got Mariel. Did I pronounce that right? Is it Mariel or Mariel?
Mariel.
Mariel.
Yes.
Okay, Mariel. I'm sure Boris wouldn't have got it right in any event. Now, we've had a brush with Boris. Could you tell us about it, please?
Yes, we were breaststroking in the Olympic pool in Moscow, and he brushed my breast, and I lost his stroke.
I see.
Yeah.
Mariel, just out of interest.
Yeah.
Who had the bigger breasts? No, because he's a big man.
Well, I'm bigger.
Okay. Well, I'm happy to hear that.
And now the nation knows.
We said it had
knows.
To kind of sound feasible, didn't we, Tom?
We did.
Thanks, Mariel.
I suppose that's believable in light of his behaviour on
Absolutely.
Friday or Saturday, whenever it was. Let's see what Tina's got to offer. Tina, tell us about your brush with Boris.
Oh, hi, guys.
Hi, Tina.
Hi. It was actually on the Hey Hey set. He was on Red Faces. He was there with a trench coat, three legs and a piece of 4x2 tin singing Timey Kangaroo Down Sport.
Right.
I wouldn't have recognised him if it wasn't for that thing on his head.
And how did the Russian president go on Hey Hey Saturday?
Well, he went all right until...
Red Gongbin?
What's his name on the end there?
Red
Simons is right, yeah. Got the nine.
And did he and Maury Fields appear to be getting on like a house on fire?
You know what? Surprisingly enough, they have the similar hairstyle.
Do they ever appear on camera together?
No.
Well, there's a theory of mine still out in the wind.
Yeah. Boris's segment, the great Russian joke, didn't read because there were no entries.
Just a picture of him.
Okay, thanks very much, Tina. Peter, tell us about your brush with Boris.
Peter?
Yeah, see, the KGB have got to him. He was sitting at home. He had it all laid out in front of him. And suddenly there was a knock on the door. A couple of blokes in trench coats.
Okay, well, we'll have a go at Lauren then.
Lauren, are you with us?
Yes.
Come in, Lauren.
Now tell us about your brush with Boris, Lauren.
Well, I was at a cousin's birthday party. It was a children's birthday party. And he was playing Cowboys and Indians.
Boris Yeltsin was?
Yeah, and he wasn't on anyone's team. He was just being really rough. And then when we were having dinner, he was taking all the kids' food.
Oh, yeah. Well, tell me, was he in a clown costume?
No, he was just dressed up as a little kid.
Oh, okay. Was he? He'd look like one of those private school boys in his little blazer with his big fat pudgy legs and his shorts.
He'd look a bit like that sort of Martin on The Simpsons, you know, the one that studies really hard. A bit like that in the short pants. Okay, yeah, that's. I don't know how feasible that is, but we'll go with it. Finally, Jamie, what was your brush with Boris?
Oh, well, we were at the tattoo parlour around the corner. My dad's insisting on getting a tattoo, and we saw Boris Yeltsin, and he was getting tattooed underneath his navel, lucky you, with this little arrow pointing downwards.
So Boris was in getting a tat.
Yeah, he said it was for his lady friend.
Oh, that'll add to the one that he's already got on his forehead that just says 95% proof. But, yeah, that's pretty darn believable. I think we might have to give it to Jamie. And, Jamie, what was your dad's tattoo, by just out of interest?
Sorry?
What was your dad's tattoo?
Oh, no, he chickened out.
Did he?
Yeah, he saw Boris Yeltsin and put him off for life, I think.
Gotcha. And does your dad look at all like Boris Yeltsin out of interest?
I hope not.
No, you wouldn't wish that on anybody. Now, you've got the Sony Discman.
Oh, wow, cool.
And I think you've gone into the... Are you up to driving age, Jamie?
No, not yet.
Okay, well, maybe your dad can get behind the wheel if it comes your way. It's the Ford Festiva. We're drawing it on the 17th of November.
Alrighty, then.
Okay, thanks very much for playing Radio Gladiators. Thanks for everybody. Everybody had a brush with Boris today. And we'll be back in the next hour with someone who's, well, a little more dignified than Boris Yeltsin, one Morgan Freeman. And in this hour of Martin Malort, we'll have the latest controversy involving those hard-rocking Gregorian monks. But next up, we're on for a yak with Morgan Freeman, all thanks to Telstra Mobile Net Digital. Thanks very much to the M people here on Martin Malloy. It's the second hour and it's time to welcome our guest. And this bloke, well, we know him from his Oscar-nominated turns in Driving Miss Daisy and The Shawshank Redemption. Talk up his latest effort, Seven, in which he stars with young Bradford Pitt. It's Morgan Freeman. Morgan, thanks for coming in today.
You're welcome.
Now,
it's going to be like that, is it? A bit of a formal affair.
Yes, we've got the tuxedos on today. Now, Morgan, before we get to Seven and your more recent work, I want to ask you, were you in Sesame Street? Have I seen you in Sesame Street at all?
No.
You weren't in
Sesame? You're thinking of that big yellow bird tone.
Oh, of course.
A 12-foot.
Of course.
Deep. No?
I got asked that a lot because Sesame Street was produced by the Children's Television Workshop. And the Children's Television Workshop also produced the show that I was in, which was The Electric Company.
Oh, The Electric. That was like a sequel, wasn't it?
Yeah.
And who made those? The Children's...
Television Workshop.
Yeah. And they're behind this latest film too, aren't they? Seven. I've got that.
Mick hasn't done a lot of research.
I see. I know, Mick. It's a completely different group. But it was a good guess.
Okay. Well, we'll talk more about that later.
We will. Now, it was a bit of a jump from The Electric Company to doing the movies, I suppose. And I first saw you in a film called Street Smart, in which you were a pretty nasty character. Now, people here know you as kind of a decent bloke, usually playing good-hearted characters. But in this one, you were a bit of a Dennis Hopper, weren't you?
A mercurial, basically unattractive type of underworld character, which is the most fun to play, let me tell you that right off the bat. Well, for instance, the time I had Kathy Baker for my one of my co-workers in this, it was just so much fun.
But of course, you don't get many of those roles.
I haven't. As a matter of fact, I could have had a whole plethora of roles like that after the fact.
Right.
But then, having done it, please,
wait,
do it
check,
again.
Please. Let's move on. Well, Morgan, you've worked with Clint Eastwood on Unforgiven. You've worked with Kevin Costner on Robin Hood. You've worked with Tim Robbins on Shawshank Redemption. You've worked with Brad Pitt in seven. Are you sick of riding shotgun for these pretty white boys?
These guys who just ride into town and, you know.
I can't say that because I'm going to be starting a picture with Keanu Reeves.
Now, let me get it right. You're a sidekick. You're the more world-weary guy. Keanu's a bit kind of, you know, tugging at the leash and you're setting him straight. Is that the kind of deal?
It's called driving Keanu.
No.
No, it's not? Good.
No, this is going to be a bit of a departure, believe me. Yes, it is. It is. In terms of role-playing. For one thing, I'm going to be extremely wealthy.
Excellent.
Start off there.
Okay. And what kind of research have you done for that aspect of the role? Have you been spending a lot of money?
See, the misnomer is believed that the extremely wealthy are big spenders. The extremely wealthy are stingy.
Is that right? So for research, you'll be acquiring lots of money, but you won't be spending it.
I won't be spending it. Right. I would hold my wife by the throat.
Now, we want to talk about Seven. It's going to get a bit gruesome. It's going to get a bit unpleasant. Can you stick around for a while, Morgan?
Talking about Seven is going to get unpleasant?
It could do.
Why are you saying a thing like that? It's not going to get unpleasant. We're going to keep it light. We're going to
keep it light.
We're going to hold ourselves up above the muck here.
Yeah, but it's not exactly the Care Bears film, is it?
Well,
we'll be interested to see what kind of research you did for this one, Morgan.
Yes. Okay, that'll be next, right here on Martin Malloy.
Still haven't found what I'm looking for here on
Martin Malloy.
And Morgan Freeman's very kindly agreed to stick around on the show today, Morgan. Now, people know you as...
wait a minute. Maybe I can't.
He's heard some of the earlier program,
absolutely.
Now, Morgan, people know you for your acting, but you've actually had a crack at directing a movie. Were you a tough director? Were you too easy on the cast, on the actors?
Just finished doing Unforgiven with Clint Eastwood. Got serious lesson in directing. And I went off to Africa and I directed a la Eastwood.
What does that mean?
That means that you've hired good people and you let them do whatever it is that they do.
Right.
And so directing becomes rolling off of a log then, you know, because all you have to do is say, yeah, that works. Yeah, thank you very much.
Lunch.
You know, you have to say that. You know, the only thing I really had to say was cut. I never had to say action, because the first assistant said action. I only had to say cut.
What about this? Do it again. That was no good. Did you have to try that?
I never said that. Oh. You never say that. Oh. You always say that was wonderful. Do it again.
Of course, we can go better. But now you're working with a director like David Fincher on Seven, and he seems to be a man who's pretty keen on lighting.
I was excited to work with him, with David. He told me how he was going to shoot the picture, how he wanted it to look, how he wanted it to feel, that he wasn't going to deal with the violence, that he was going to make the violence more suggestive, you know, and all the things I find the strengths in the film, particularly when we get so much visuals. You know, people think we got a visual medium now, let's really bang them with it.
Just lay it on. Put on a spread for the folks at home.
Exactly.
And it is a fairly gruesome film, but a lot of that gruesomeness is implied. For someone who, say, knows nothing about this film, how would you best describe it?
No, that's a difficult one because it's not a... How would you describe it?
It's a kind of like a very dark and moody Weekend at Bernie's. Well, no, that's... I'm being lost.
No, you're not too far off, though, because Weekend at Bernie's is very, aside from if you tone down the humor a little bit, you'd have a really macabre story, because these guys are walking around with a dead body, which we tend to forget, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So
it's not, basically, it's you got someone who's not so much a practical joker, more your serial killer.
Would be your
main distinction here.
Righteous serial killer.
Now, Morgan, we hate to ask you this, because I know everyone asks you this. Brad Pitt, what's he like?
Well, you know that he was called by Vanity Fair. I think it was Vanity Fair magazine. They did do a wonderful spread on him, what was shirt off and his long flowing golden locks all over the dadgum place. Sickening picture.
They overlooked you for that spread, Morgan? You never got the call?
And I don't understand why.
I don't either.
And, you know, I think it takes a certain amount of leveling and equanimity to wade through this kind of publicity, you know. But one of the things you want to learn is that you don't want to be called the sexiest man in the world.
Is that right?
That's a Guaranteed celibacy.
Is that right? Too much pressure.
Too much pressure. Entirely too much pressure. Women won't come near you. And the reason they won't come near you is because...
Too sexy.
You're God. You're untouchable. You can't be reached at that level.
Okay. No? Well, we've been talking to the world's second sexiest man, Morgan Freeman. Thanks for coming in today, Morgan.
Thank you so much. It's been real nice talking to you guys. And I'm the third sexist. The second sexist is Sean Connery.
Oh, okay. Sean Connery. Right. We've got to get those rankings right, Mick.
Where are we coming in, Toad, at this stage?
Well, there's a second volume being printed, yeah, apparently, and I'm not sure if we're in that one either.
We'll wait till the 5,000 list comes out.
Okay. Well, thanks for coming in today, Morgan.
That was a pleasure.
And we'll be back with more in a moment.
Can I go now?
Morgan Martin Malloy.
Well, there it is. Time to bring down the roller door on another Martin Malloy for a Monday. And Mickey, anything we want to get off our chest before we sign off?
No, I'm looking at a rather unfortunate picture, though, of Kylie Minogue in the paper, Tone. Have you seen this?
No.
At a fashion show, she's wearing, I think the remnants of a dress. And
she looks as though she's been in an explosion, doesn't she?
And I'm thinking, is
that the new look? Is the wife look out the I've just been in an explosion look here to stay?
I've been on a date with a Unabomber look. No, I think she hasn't had a very good run, has she? Like, someone's rang her up and said, hey, would you like to do a duet with me? And she's gone, yeah, and it turns out the song's all about bashing her in the head with a rock. And now someone's rang her up and said, would you like to be part of my fashion show? And she said, yes, and they've run her over in a car. Look at that.
That's a sensational photo. Are there any more photos in the paper today, like there were on Friday, of Silverchair riding to school on their BMXs?
No, but a couple of cabinet members from the Keating government, I think, riding to school. Same
now,
sort of photo.
Alexander Downer has taken a look at that and gone Silverchair, $6 million worldwide, really popular. I'll just get the short pants on and ride my BMX into Parliament.
And he's got soft, doughy thighs, hasn't he? When you
yes,
think about
indeed.
It.
That's the name of his band. But what I loved in that story about Silverchair, it said that their parents have told them they have to get their HSCs before they can go on tour with the Chili Peppers.
Now back to your room.
Have the Chili Peppers got their HSCs?
Oh, I don't think so. There'd be a team of experts hired by a record company sitting in a room doing Silverchair's homework right now, I reckon.
I think there would be. And it's time for us to sign off. Thanks to our guest, Morgan Freeman, and all our gladiators. We'll be back tomorrow with Raymond J. Bartholomew's. But until then, remember, if you can't say something intelligent, come talk to us.
Martin Malloy is a misguided production in association with Half-Baked Ideas and Ill-Conceived Concepts Proprietary Limited. Brought to you by Telstra Mobile Net Digital. Pete Smith speaking.